Hey, it's Maz. Listen up. My friends at Rodenizer Home Services do a lot more than you may think. When they say home services, they mean it. From heating repairs and installations, seasonal heating system checks, indoor quality services like whole home air filtration, duct cleaning, and maintenance, plus water quality testing, water heater flushing and replacement, electrical system checkups, you name it, they do it. With 100% customer satisfaction guarantee and a knowledgeable and reliable team. You and your home are in good hands. Go to Rodenizer.com to schedule your next service. That's Rodenizer.com.
B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Maz.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, hour two with Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. Back to your phones in just a second, I promise. But I've been told Greg has a nugget on the Niners and their lack of engagement with the Patriots on Garoppolo. What do you know there, Greg?
Actually, I was just about to text you to be like, I didn't send you any notes on this. Like,
no, where did you? Well, I got a text from someone who pays attention. Said, I'm not sure if you're planning on it, but I think Bedard has a nugget in his newest podcast about the 49ers not engaging with the Patriots about Garoppolo.
Oh, okay. That.
Yeah, that.
It wasn't that big of a nugget. But anyways.
Well, let's make
Okay, so look, basically the way it's gone this offseason is there have been talks and the 49ers just won't engage. You know, in the terms that I've heard, it's, you know, they're screwing around and they're being like, you know, I don't want to do this until we have something and all this stuff. And the Patriots just basically said like, all right, we're out. We're doing something else. They can't afford to wait around. And so I think that's what the Patriots did. Now, there is also the chance that there is some belief that at some point, whether it's they figure out the way the quarterback landscape is going to fall with the draft, with free agency at some point where the 49ers just release Jimmy. I think there's a little bit of hope of that. But again, that's just hope.
See, Mike, just quickly, you know what this tells me? How delusional the Patriots were about the whole thing. Like what? The Niners are going to trade Jimmy Garoppolo without having another quarterback lined up? Like, seriously. What were the, you know, they had no leverage. They had nowhere to turn. There was no way for them to place any sort of pressure on anybody. Nothing. They had nothing, which is why they had to sign Cam Newton, because they needed some sort of answer, or at least they wanted one going into free agency. Again, I'm not even sure they needed it, but that aside. So I don't think the quarterback thing is over, because I still think anything's possible.
Well, here's another Niners QB nugget that just came across from Ian Rappaport. The 49ers are hosting veteran quarterback Joe Flacco on a visit, a potential experience backup behind Jimmy G.
Okay, well, that would, you know, obviously fill that need, right? They're looking to that's to upgrade Nick Mullins or, you know, C.J. Beathard or whatever they have there behind Jimmy Garoppolo. So, I mean, that's sort of, you know, consistent with what it felt like. It's, you know, which I think is kind of silly by the Niners. Like, why wouldn't you at least just look to see if the Patriots are willing to get stupid? Like, I mean, why would you not take a call on any player? You just wait to see. If someone makes you an offer, you can't refuse. And, you know, maybe it won't be there later on in the offseason. And now you've overplayed your hand. So,
Felger, it's just kind of ridiculous a little bit that, like, it's like all these teams with quarterbacks or high draft picks, they're all like, you know, pointing loaded weapons at each other. Like, all right, well, who's going to move first? Like, you know, somebody's got to move at some point in time, or else this is what you get.
Yeah. And again, this ties back into the Deshaun Watson thing. I think that gums up the works too. All right. Calls for Bedard. Ty in Kingston. What do you got for him, Ty?
How you doing, guys? I was just curious if Greg thought it'd be more realistic that Bill targets Micah Parsons at 15 and looks at a guy like Kellen Mond on day two.
Okay. Any sense of where they go at 15, Greg? And are there good defensive players out there that would fit their mold?
They have no idea what they're doing at this point in time. I don't know what they're doing. But, yeah, Micah Parsons, you know, a linebacker like Micah Parsons and Kellen Mond and some quarterback in round two, sure, sign me up. I mean, they just have to find somebody that they think this can't be a Garoppolo or Stidham like 3-year plan anymore. It's got to be a little bit quicker, and they need McDaniels and Belichick to, figure out who the guy is who has potential to start this year. It can't be a 3-year process, but then again, I don't think the offense is at a point where they're going to need that.
Okay, Greg, quit moving away from the mic, big boy. Bob and Needham, go ahead, Bob.
Okay.
Yeah, so first of all, the Patriots would sign Jack the Ripper as long as the guaranteed money had already been paid off. And Murray, you're misremembering. They didn't cut bait with Antonio Brown until after that text message. They knew all his baggage, and until he sent that crazy text message, then they cut him because they had to. Yeah. So they took him with all his baggage. And Bernard, you're the one that last year, game after game, you looked at the All-22s, and you said, there are guys open, but Camp just can't get them the football. So what has changed? Is it a time machine I don't know about that it's going to change him back into 2015, Cam? Because he stinks.
Well, let me stop you, Bob. You've just given us eight things. Let me just hit on one of them. Have you evolved, Greg, on your thoughts on Cam Newton?
No. No. I mean, look, I raised the question. I don't know who has more pressure on them this year, Bill Belichick or Cam Newton, if he is indeed the week one starter. I mean, there are no more built-in excuses for Cam Newton if he does not produce and is not a very successful quarterback this season. I mean, everybody around there, everybody internally there has, bent over backwards to make excuses. Oh, the tight ends. Oh, the wide receivers. Oh, COVID. Oh, this. Oh, that. Well, guess what? All that's gone now. And I don't want to hear anything from anybody internally about Cam. If he has never, ever, ever in his career been surrounded by the level of talent that he has right now. If he is not a good quarterback, immediately Bill needs to bench his ass. We're not going through the whole thing last year with, oh, well, he's our quarterback and this and that. No, this team is ready to win games now. It might only be built for 1 year. You can't wait.
Nick, so, in the car. Go ahead, Matt.
No, I was just going to say, when the caller says what has changed, the talent has changed. And I wouldn't be surprised if the offense changes.
All right. We got Nick in the car. He's up next with Greg Bedard. No. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, what's going on? So I did some analysis on the Patriots spending habits. I sent it over to you guys yesterday, I think. It's pretty interesting when you actually see the years that they are spending tons of money. And I think that does actually have to do with something that I think Matt hit on yesterday, is Robert Kraft is one of the big wigs at the table, right, when they talk to TV deals. So they kind of know when that money is going to be coming through and available for them as salary cap purposes and stuff like that. And just the way that they allocate that money is pretty interesting. And I'm not talking cap money, Felger, because I know you say, you spit on the cap money. But yeah, the real money is definitely the –
Well, they always defer. And thanks for the call and thanks for the analysis. Anyone who is paying out money wants to defer the money. Anyone who is receiving money – wants as much of it up front, okay? So this isn't like, this doesn't make the Patriots geniuses or anything. It's anyone who's paying out money wants to spread it out and defer it. Money gets, inflation and all of this, it's worth less the farther out it is. And this is why this whole game with NFL free agents and NFL players is they want as much up front as entirely possible. The teams want as much spread out as entirely possible. This is, I just think people overthink the money way too much.
Agreed. And they're overthinking the TV contract too. Everybody's going to benefit from that. Everybody's going to benefit.
Well, and the other thing about the TV contract is, and yes, Robert Kraft and Jerry Jones have inside knowledge of what's going on with those contracts. There's no doubt about that. But it's not like they're going to sign the TV contracts this year and suddenly the cap's going to be $250 million next year. That's not the way it works.
Exactly.
There's always a lag time of a couple of years. So, next year could get dicey for, a lot of teams. Now, 2 years out is a little bit different, but next year it could get a little dicey.
And I don't even believe that, but,
here we go. Yeah.
Well, no, I don't want to get bogged down with it, but it's like folks, the reason they went out and signed all these players is because their roster sucked. And they don't want it to suck, okay?
Correct.
And that's to their credit. That's not a criticism. That's to their credit. But the amount of pretzel twisting and explaining and, I don't know why fans get sensitive to that. Or, you've got to ascribe some sort of ulterior motive that proves how smart they are. Look how they, maximize the timing and the window of the cap and the pandemic and this and that. No, no, no. Their roster had major holes, and they weren't satisfied with it. So they went and filled the holes. That's the story, okay? And the money stuff always takes care of itself at another time. Don't overthink the money, and don't start with the money. Bedard, you push back when Maz says they could have a different offense next year. You don't think so?
No. How many times do we have to talk about this? I mean, more. You know, we did it last year. We did it this year. It's the same offense. You know, it's never changed. The offense never changes. Just on how they do things, it's not going to change. It's the same offense. It's always been the same offense. It will always be the same offense. And it's just the way you tailor it to certain players. There isn't going to be some sea change. It's not happening.
Yeah, I all I'm saying is if they're going to tailor it to players, they need to tailor it to the quarterback. That's all I'm saying.
Mass thinks they could be like the Ravens next year. What do you think?
No. No. I mean, will they do a few more things here and there? And will they mix in, yes, what, you know, a little read option with the tight ends and stuff like that? Yes, but that's not being like the Ravens. That's just using different pieces of their playbook.
Say it, Greg. You can say it. Maz is stupid. Go ahead.
No, I prefer to tell you that in private.
John in Providence. Go ahead, John. What do you got on Trubisky?
Hey, Felger, how you doing?
We're okay. Go.
Great. Listen, now the Buffalo Bills have two quarterbacks better than we have. What do you think about that?
I would have liked Trubisky here. I think he'd be worth a crack. You know, he's worth the second act.
I think this move today says more about him than anything else. Most guys go to where they could really compete for a job, and Mitch Trubisky just said, where can I go where I know I don't even have to play? I can just stand there.
Well, no, I mean, Murray's right. Like, the way I feel about Trubisky, the league disagrees with. Like, no one sees him as a starter, which is obvious. But I still think, you know, and Buffalo has him there not to develop him as the next guy, obviously, because they have the guy. But I don't know. Oh, God. Okay, we don't have to go backwards on that either. But I just think he would have been worth a crack as a second act. Have you got another snide comment before we hit the break here, Greg?
Nah, I'll save it for after the break.
Okay, nah. ten questions around free agency with Bedard right after this.
Hey, it's Bankroll Boy Dan Lifshatz here with some betting advice you will not want to miss. Get to betterthan.vegas. It's an awesome social video platform featuring me and other expert cappers providing you with our favorite daily picks. We have you covered throughout the entire college basketball tourney, and you won't want to miss out. I'm so impressed with the quality of Cappers betterthan.vegas features and excited to be contributing myself. I'll be posting a weekly video under Dan Lifshatz. Be sure to follow them on Twitter at @BTVCashTickets and see for yourself what all the madness is about at betterthan.vegas.
Please, Mass.
What the
Felger and Mass.
What the F are we doing here?
98.5.
What are we doing?
The Sports Hub. You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, 10 questions with Bedard across free agency. What are our buzzers this week, Jimmy?
That big booty.
Okay, thank you, Max.
Yes!
No!
The breaking news sounder!
Are you serious?
Okay, Beadle and Zoe doing Patriots.
No way! Agency. Give it to me!
Next.
Never gonna get him, never gonna get him. Never gonna get him, never gonna get him. Never gonna get him, never gonna get him. Never gonna get him, never get him.
Next.
Godchow, is that how you say his name? The nose tackle, Devon Godchow?
Whatever it is.
Godchow, I think it's pronounced. I don't know.
And Devon Godchow. Falker? No, what's his name? Feckler? Falker? What's his freaking name?
I don't know the kid. Tennessee?
Feckler. What was it? I forgot already.
Ferkser.
Falker? No, what's his name? Feckler? Falker? What's his freaking name?
I don't know the kid. Tennessee?
Ferkser. Number 10. Greg, give me a Russell Wilson trade.
So, I don't know. Jets for Darnold, Becton, and 2 firsts.
Okay, it didn't sound like you're very invested in that question. Like, you know, either we're going to do this or we're not going to do this. So just play along.
So I'll give you one.
I gave you one, didn't I?
Shut up, Greg.
Yeah, you had a smirk on your face.
Russell Wilson to Baltimore for Lamar Jackson. And if you have to throw in a first, then you throw in a first. That would be a good deal for both teams.
2 first-round picks, a few middling draft picks, and T.J. Watt to Seattle for Russell Wilson to become the new quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That's a good one. I'd be willing to give you Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. How's that?
Oh.
So that's the whole that, because the Seahawks get older at the position, so I'll give you the next guy. I'll give you the current guy and the next guy, and I get someone who's about 5-6 years younger than Aaron Rodgers, and everybody's a winner. There you go. I like that one. Next. And Devon Godchow. Is Tampa right to bring everyone back, Greg? Or should they have made some hard choices on some of their players? And are they the Super Bowl favorite next year?
Is Griffin back, the edge guy?
Not sure.
Okay. I'm indifferent about him. But otherwise, I think Jason Light has done a tremendous job. I don't know if I've ever seen a Super Bowl team with this many guys who could have left retained for the next year. I think they've done an unbelievable job. I think they're formidable. I think that they are probably the Super Bowl favorites at this point. And given how easy their schedule is and how bad that division is going to be, I think 19-0, 20-0 is on the table for them this coming year.
They should have turned the page at least a little bit. I'd have let Shaq Barrett go. I think that's a mistake.
Who it is. Sorry,
yeah, they should have used that money somewhere else. They could probably use another wide receiver. Are they the team to beat? Right now, yes.
Smart move. They got better towards the end of the year and the playoffs. They obviously caught fire. So, yeah, put the band back together, and they're the favorite.
Next.
That big booty.
Greg, what's your least favorite signing across the league?
Trey Hendrickson with the Bengals he's from the Saints. 1 year, really a production. It's not a whole ton of guaranteed money, but basically, if he's a disaster, it's 1 year, $20 million. That's ridiculous. I'm more upset with the Bengals for they haven't done anything on the offensive line yet. I mean, do they want Joe Burrow to be put in a wheelchair for the rest of his career? Like, what the hell? How did they not sign Joe Tooney? How did they not go get David Andrews or anybody? Like, it's terrible what they're doing.
So my least favorite signing is Shaq Barrett, which I've already said, but I'll add J.J. Watt. Too much money. Too much money. He's been around a while. He's had some injuries. Too much.
Cam Newton, 1 year with incentives to the New England Patriots.
Best answer, Murray. Next.
Godchow, is that how you say his name? The nose tackle, Devon Godchow?
Give me one signing across the league, Greg, you really liked.
I guess it would be Curtis Samuel. I was just going to say, in general, I've liked what Washington has done. I mean, Fitzpatrick, you put Samuels with McLaurin. They got something cooking on offense there.
Gerald Everett, Seattle. They got two terrific receivers, and they need a legit tight end who can make some plays. You put him with Wilson, give him another third option in the middle of the field. It's a small signing, but I like it. I think that's going
to
work.
Me and Bedard, great minds. Fitzpatrick to Washington football team, veteran quarterback, and run that offense, occasionally sling it. As you saw last season, the strength of that team is the defense. They can easily make the playoffs again with him at quarterback.
Fitz out in Washington, Murray, as they like to say. Next.
Yes!
No!
The breaking news sounder!
Are you serious?
Number six, the Chiefs have cut their two tackles, right? But they've signed Tooney, and Long has come out of retirement. Have they gotten better or worse up front in front of Patrick Mahomes? Which way is the arrow pointed in Kansas City?
Well, they certainly have a lot more work to do at tackle, and I think they can. There's a lot of people who think that the tackle draft class is really deep. So if they can get one or two starters, and maybe they can bring one of these injured tackles back at some point, if they can get two tackles, I think they're better now on the offensive line going into this season than they were certainly the way they finished.
Right now they're worse. They're worse, if you ask me. So, which is part of the reason I say Tampa's the team to beat, but there's a long way to go.
Arrow pointing down. You're going to trust two rookies to protect the edge for Mahomes? Just seems dumb. And Long is old and sucks, so that he's not good enough.
Next.
No way! Give it to me!
Number five, tool bag question. Who's been the biggest tool bag in NFL free agency?
Chris Ballard, Colts GM. And I love Ballard, and I think he's done a really nice job, and he's gotten that program turned around and really good. But, dude, what are you doing with your cap space? You know, do something. All of a sudden, Frank Reich comes out yesterday and says, yeah, we're in the market for a playmaking tight end. The Patriots took both of them. Like, where the hell were you?
Kyle Van Noy. He bugs the crap out of me. I don't care if he's here or not. Just the whole thing, he had to, you know, issued a thing on Instagram or whatever when he was released, another one when he got here. The guy bugs me. Van Noy.
Yeah, can I just jump in? It's always something with him. Like, yeah. There's always some sort of, you know, blah or clap back or some sort of call out or, like, he just can't just be. Just show up and play and be and live your life. No, it's always some sort of chirp or something. I just explained the rest to you, you know, on social media. That's the way the world is, I understand. But with this guy especially, it's like, boy, is that a perfect guy for our time or what?
Oh, he's not good enough to be telling me every move in his life on Instagram.
Get off the freaking
seriously,
internet for like 5 minutes.
Up. God, seriously.
Well, that's a good segue into my answer for this, which is Patriots fans. Because enough with the chess and checkers analogy and the Belichick orange juice meme and the one of him coming out of the tunnel. We get it. It was a great free agency. They've made a splash and good.
But you still don't have a quarterback.
Oh, that's another good one. Oh, Patriots fans, you act like such tool bags sometimes. Both of those. Excellent. Van Noy and Patriots fans, you meant for each other. Just get online and bitch at each other all day long and chirp each other and clap back. And like, there's always something. Always, always something. You just can't be, right? You just can't. All right, next.
Never gonna get him, 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 never get him.
Number four, give me a free agent left on the board who the Patriots should target.
Lawrence Guy, obviously.
Very good, Greg. I'll say Golden Tate or Larry Fitzgerald. Go get me a physical receiver who can play in the middle of the field to go with those tight ends. And a veteran guy that I believe in. Get me one of those guys.
Just pay David Andrews.
Okay, Fitzgerald's a great one. Next. Faulker? No, what's his name? Feckler? Faulker? What's his freaking name?
I don't know the kid. Tennessee?
Number three. What the hell is Matt Patricia doing here? What's his role and what's he doing?
He's working behind the scenes on various projects. He's a lot I think Kramer when, I think he's like Kramerica, that kind of thing from Seinfeld. He's doing a bunch of different things. And but a lot of it, Felger, has to do with, from what I understand, he needs a little decompression time for what happened in Detroit. He needs to reset, you know, get his mind right, because I think there's still a lot of residual effect from what happened there in Detroit.
What is Matt Patricia doing here? I don't know. Eating? Drinking? Growing?
That's why I said keeping the in-house caterers busy.
Absolutely.
Next. And Devon Godchow. Number two, Greg, give me your updated big board. College quarterbacks and the drafted quarterbacks. Any thoughts, any developing opinions on overrated, underrated, who might be there for the Patriots? Who should they go target if they're up there, et cetera?
General thoughts are, you know, Trey Lance, I'm a little scared of, you know, his lack of activity. I do think he's a good prospect, but am I taking him at 15 in the first round? I doubt it. I think he's more of a second round sort of player because he's going to need a lot of development and a lot of coaching. And as far as, you know, underrated guys, you know, I think the Newman kid from Georgia and Wake Forest, I think that he's got a lot of potential, especially in an offense like this one.
I'm the opposite on Trey Lance. If Newton's going to be the quarterback of this team, draft Lance. I think there's an easy transition there. The kid can run. He's got a big arm. Like, I'd take a shot there if that's what, you know, if what they're thinking. It's a modified offense, Greg. Modified.
Three will be good. Uh-huh. Three will be good. Lawrence, Wilson, Fields. The rest will all suck, just given math and history at that position and when they're drafted. So take the linebacker from Penn State at 15.
Last one, Jimmy.
God show, I think it's pronounced. I don't know.
Cam Newton is a starter next year, okay? Let's just assume Newton is a starter. All 17 games. What should the Patriots' record be, Greg? What's the baseline to call their season a success?
What should it be or what will it be?
What should it be? Wait, like it, oh, my God. It's not that hard of a question. I said, what should it be? What should it be?
Well, with what they've done in all this, yeah, they should be like 13-3 in the win the division.
13-4. 13-4. 17 games, Greg.
Whatever. I was also going to tell you, if you wanted to hear anything and you stopped talking, I was going to say, I think it's going to be 10-6.
So I would say a minimum, given the 17-game schedule, I would say minimum of 11-6. Minimum. I'm still worried about, I don't think Newton's that good, and I question whether he can get there, but given what they did, they got to be at least 11-6.
Saying not that good is being kind. He blows. 10-7, win a wild card game, be happy with that.
Okay, they should be better than that, Murray. You don't spend $200 million in free agency to go 10-7 and just squeak into the playoffs. No, no, no. It's an easy layup question, Greg. What should they be? They should contend for the division.
Oh, it's two different questions, Mike.
They should. I said it should. What should? I don't parse the word there. What should their record be given the talent they just added? Simple question. They should be a 12-win
team. The essential question is, what do I think it's going to be? That's the essential question.
I'm not asking for predictions. I think predictions are complaining. I think predictions are like a-holes. Everyone's got them, and I don't care what yours is, really. So, like, you know, we get in the prediction game on the show all the time.
No, you care. You ask me all the time. What's going to happen? Who do you think they are? What are they going to do? Who are they going to sign? You ask me all the time.
What should it be? They should contend for the division. They should win at least a playoff game. They should be in the divisional round after all this talent, even with crap ass.
Absolutely. And the essential question is, what will they be? 10-7.
So you think they're going to underachieve next year?
Correct. That's the essential part. I'm trying to get you to that.
Why do you think they're going to underachieve?
Because I don't think it's going to all come together in 1 year. You know, yes, they got guys that should be able to fit, and they're young and all that stuff. But I don't trust Cam Newton. Here's the thing, Mike, about this offense. And people can, you know, get all excited and all giggly about, like, oh, this is what they can do with the two tight ends. Oh, and then you get an athletic fullback, and you can do this, and you can do the read option, all that. You know what? You know what's crucial to this that we don't know whether Cam can do, because he's never had to do it ever in his entire career? It's to get up there, see what the defense is doing, and change the play at the line. Can he do that? Today, he cannot. Can he get there by the end of the season? I don't know. And if he can't, this offense isn't doing anything.
Okay, next time, just go ahead with the answer. Okay? Like, number one, quit backing away from the mic. Okay, it's annoying. It's distracting. Number two, you need to work on your 10-question game over the offseason, Greg. Just fire off the answer. Not a hem and haw or ask a question for an answer with a question to a question. Just give me that take. It was a good take. Just fire away. It really doesn't matter. It's just a setup.
Get in the lab.
Okay, so work on the 10-question game. Back to your phones, everybody, right after this.
Hey, it's Bankroll Boy Dan Lifshatz here to tell you about BetterThan.Vegas, the home for avid sports bettors providing insights, analysis, and free betting picks from the best cappers and bettors around the globe. Think social video platform for sports betting. I know, mind-blowing, right? Are you a capper that's maybe looking to grow your audience? BetterThan.Vegas is the place for your voice to be heard. Or, if you're looking for some daily advice on how to crush the books, you gotta check out the site. You can find me under Dan Lifshatz, and be sure to follow them on Twitter at BTVCashTickets. Head now to BetterThan.Vegas.
Ever wonder where Felger and Maz get all their inside information?
I heard from a guy at a cocktail party.
Always relying on their credible sources. Felger and Maz, the show to come to when sports news breaks.
Oh! Couple quick calls here for Bedard. Ryan in Taunton on line three. Jimmy, he froze up immediately, of course. Go ahead, Ryan, you're up.
Hey, Greg, just wondering if you think that the Pats are one of the teams calling on Gardner Minshew, and if you think what are the chances they'd trade a third or a fourth, bring him in to compete with Cam and a rookie.
Okay. Ryan, thanks for the call. Greg did write this a couple weeks ago. We talked about it on the air. You had a quarterback room a couple weeks ago, potentially being Newton, Minshew, and a draft pick. Do you think that's still on the table?
Yeah, I think it's possible. I can't tell you whether it's going to happen now or what, but I would say, like I said before, I would say the odds on favorite is Newton and a draft pick. You know, could they add Minshew because he doesn't make anything? Yeah, sure. It's definitely possible.
We've got Jay in New Hampshire with another quarterback question. Hi, Jay.
Hey, Greg. I was wondering if you think the Patriots would take a run at Josh Rosen. And the reason I say that was that McDaniels was really high on him when he was coming out of college. He's good because you wouldn't lose any draft capital. He fits their offense right now. And I understand the negatives because Arizona and the Dolphins didn't have a great offensive line, so the game didn't slow down enough for him to really mature. Your thoughts?
Greg?
Well, Jay, it's an interesting question. I'm not sure where you got the McDaniels likes Josh Rosen thing. I've never heard that. I don't even know if that's true. But look, the Patriots could have acquired Josh Rosen any number of times over the past couple of years, and they haven't done it. As far as I know, I don't think they like the player, the makeup, the leader, the guy in the locker room. There's a lot of questions have been going back to the draft about that, and I think that concerns them greatly.
Tell you, we always get the Josh Rosen call. You know, there's just this fascinating, because he got drafted in the top 10. I mean, that's obviously the only reason, but people, you know, I don't think people fully appreciate. He's just, he's barely in the league. You know, he's barely deemed to be one of the top 96 quarterbacks in the country. Like, he's barely on an NFL roster. Like, it wouldn't take much to get Josh Rosen.
Yeah, no thanks.
Chuck in D.C. Go ahead, Chuck.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. Greg, what do you think was the biggest culprit last season to get Belichick to change his approach and spend like this? Like, would we be seeing this kind of spending if they went 9-7 last season?
Okay, good question.
You know, yeah, it is a good question. Maybe not to this extent. And I know, you know, the end game in this question is about Brady. How much does Brady factor into this? And because I'm sure, you know, Felger is foaming at the mouth about that. You know, I think this all had to do with them being 7-9. I mean, look, did Brady winning the Super Bowl, did it give a little extra juice? And would maybe Hunter Henry not be here if that didn't happen? Possibly. But I think really it was 7-9. They had to basically rub rocks together to get 7 wins out of that group. And they got lucky with the, you know, the cap and the situation and all that. And it went to their advantage. I think you combine all those factors and it comes out into what they did.
Right. Well, I mean, of course, if they had a good record, they wouldn't have this kind of spending spree. They wouldn't have the holes on their roster. They wouldn't need to, because they'd be good enough that they wouldn't have to sign all these guys. Like,
yeah, I mean, but 9-7 wouldn't have gotten them into the playoffs. So that's actually a good, you know, barometer. I think at 9-7, I still think they do this.
Yeah, probably. So I mean, what I mean is just if they had a good record and a good team, of course they wouldn't do this. This wasn't driven by the economics. It timed out nicely. It's a good break that they had this room at the very, you know, that their roster cratered and created all this room at the very time that a pandemic hit and the caps went down and there weren't as many teams with money. Like, that was a nice coincidence, but that's all that was. And the impetus was they had a million holes on their roster to fill, so they went and filled them. If they were a better team, they wouldn't have as many holes and they wouldn't need to fill them. Like, that's just what it comes down to. And Brady's a factor in there somewhere. And I think it's just a little turbo boost and a little, you know, cherry on top that gave them a little extra goose, because they are human beings. And it's the most fascinating 10% of the equation. And it's the 10% that the team wants to deny and run from and are sensitive to. And this is why we'll spend so much time on it. But it is only that 10%. I mean, that's what I think. Did you have a thought there, Mess?
No, I was just going to say that the roster sucked, plain and simple. That's why they went bananas. Like, you know, people overthink this kind of crap. Their roster sucked. They had nowhere else to go. They had to get players somehow, so they had to buy them.
One final segment with Greg and your wonderful calls. He'll handicap the AFC East as it stands today, right after this.
If you're an engineer looking to advance your career, Northeastern University's Gordon Institute of Engineering Leadership may be right for you. Learn more by visiting northeastern.edu/GordonInfo. That's northeastern.edu/GordonInfo.
You can listen to Felger and Mass on your phone.
I don't care.
With the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
I'm just a sports talk radio host. I'm not a reporter.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Steve, are the Bills still the favorite now after watching these last 48 hours of free agency in the East?
Andrew, I don't see how they can't be. I mean, they're still the best team. They still got the best quarterback in the division. He's ascending. You look at the roster, and I thought yesterday's, you know, the move that they're making for Emmanuel Sanders to get him was so slick, because here the Bills are just kind of watching the Patriots stack up. The Dolphins make some subtle moves. And, you know, the Bills were able to re-sign their linebacker, Matt Milano, and the two offensive linemen, John Feliciano and Darrell Williams. Oh, boom, we get Emmanuel Sanders to slide in there for losing John Brown. That receiving core is so loaded now, so you're really helping out your young quarterback. When you look at, you know, you've got guys like an ascending young player like Gabe Davis, Stephon Diggs, Tecole Beasley, and now a slot receiver who can get downfield like Emmanuel Sanders. Yes, they're still the best team.
All right, Steve Weiss, NFL Network. Wrapping up here with Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal. Give his site a read, a subscription, even better. It's good content on there. He's going to work on his 10 questions game, though. Greg, and he's also...
Work on your dick game.
He's also... I'm going to ignore that because I think you stepped away from the mic again. I couldn't quite hear it clearly.
I didn't move.
He also... Yeah, this is something you'll like, Patriots fans. Hates the Buffalo Bills and is in complete denial about Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, or was. Where are you today? Are they the favorite for the division next year?
I do not hate the Buffalo Bills. No. I just don't think that Josh Allen is a lead off of 1 year. That's the only thing that I've said. I like Sean McDermott. I like Brandon Bean. I think that the Bills are they're the favorite in the clubhouse right now because they've actually done it on the field. The Patriots, everything they've done has been on paper. So until I see otherwise, I can't unseat the Bills. I mean, I like where the Patriots are, but, you know, I don't know what they're going to get at Cam Newton. I don't know how things are going to mesh, how long it's going to take. I mean, look, the Bucs last year, who had a lot fewer changes in terms of personnel, the quarterback was a big thing, obviously. But, look, they were 7-5 at one point and sort of teetering on what are they going to be. They flipped the switch. They won their last 8 games and won the Super Bowl. So that can happen. Is that going to happen for the Patriots this year? I don't know.
Okay. We have a little bit of breaking news on the Patriots.
Ooh. This is breaking sports news. Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I don't know what it is, Jimmy. What are you... Oh, okay, here we go. From Adam Schefter. The Patriots are in agreement on a deal with former Packers defensive end Montrevious Adams. There you go. Montrevious Adams reached Patriots on a 1-year deal worth up to $2.5 million.
Did you say Packers?
Yeah.
Hoy.
Rosenhaus guy.
Yep, another Drew Rosenhaus. He was
there. You go.
5 deals this week with the Patriots.
6'4", 304, 25 years old.
I don't remember making a single play.
He played in 8 games last year for Green Bay.
I don't care. Give me as many fat guys as you can on small contracts. I'll take them all. I'm telling you, I want every freaking whale you can put in there. Get every one. 6'4", 3 Bills, sign them up.
So the Patriots' incredibly active offseason continues, where they're adding guys everywhere at all levels, meaning, you know, big money, small money, in between, potential starters, potential Pro Bowlers, depth guys. They're doing everything except quarterback, which is just, again, you know, remains sort of odd. We're going to circle back to that. But, Greg, you might be surprised to hear that, you know, let's see on Josh Allen. Like, he could be. My main thing is I just think you and others were in denial about what Josh Allen was last year. I mean, I think he played at an elite level last year. But that doesn't mean that, you know, you can't bring him back to earth or something won't puncture that or send him heading in the other direction. He could be a 1-year wonder for all I know. And now the Patriots, I mean, do the Patriots, because you know what, Greg? I think Belichick might feel that way. I mean, you remember that game in week 16 mm-hmm. or whatever it was where Lewis Riddick and these guys on the broadcast let it slip that Bill doesn't think much of Josh Allen. So I think they were giving us the straight dope because Bill was giving them the straight dope in their production meetings. So I think Bill thinks you can get to Josh Allen. Do they now have the personnel to do it?
Oh, sure. I mean, they're drastically better in all areas. The two edge guys are going to be a problem. They'll get back to doing the amoeba stuff if their defensive coordinators are capable of handling that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, the only ones that we know that could really pull it off is Brian Flores. Can Belichick and Mayo push the right buttons? I don't know. They have to be put to the test too. I think they're under pressure now because they actually have talent. They faltered down the stretch in 2019. Can they rise up? I think that's a big factor. But one thing I did want to bring up before I leave is I'm not hearing good things out of Miami about the Dolphins. I hear there are some issues within the team. There are some issues in terms of, whether players want to be there anymore, how long they want to stay there. And if you look at their roster and what they've been doing, and I know I think they just signed Will Fuller, who, you know, great. I mean, how many good hamstrings is he going to have this year? But I think Flores is in dangerous territory of being a flash in the pan himself.
Interesting. Is that related to Van Noy at all, do you think?
A little bit Van Noy, a little bit, you know, some other guys. I mean, look, there's a lot of carryover between front office, coaching staff, players, and stuff like that. So let's just say there's a lot of you know, chatter going around, you know, about the Dolphins, and it's not flattering. And I don't like what they're doing at all on the offensive line. I mean, their offensive line could really stink this year, and that they signed Matt Skura from the Ravens. That guy's awful. Like, he's terrible. I'd rather have Ted Karras than him.
So, Greg, when you say not flattering, like, are you talking that guys don't like playing for Flores, or like, what do you mean?
It's Tony, I would give you an answer if I really had one. It's not the information that I've heard from a few people isn't exactly pointed in that way. It's just that, you know, I don't know. It's a tough situation. I don't know if it's Flores. I don't know if it's the team. I don't know. I think Tua has something to do with it. I don't think they're the players are all that high on Tua there. I think it's a whole bunch of things. And so I think that's the Patriots' advantage and is going to be a factor in the AFC East.
I mean, three team captains have left. Van Noy was a captain last year. Fitzpatrick was a captain. Karras was a captain. So,
I mean, and they, you know, if you just mentioned here, I'm sorry, I was reading something. They do have a quick trigger. I mean, they Flores
a lot
gets
of
down,
things.
Right, fires his offensive coordinator after 1 year. Van Noy comes down 1 year, captain gone the next. Like, boy, yeah, he turns on people quickly.
It's catching up to him, all that stuff. I mean, I think he's gone through like three different OCs, a couple different defensive coordinators. You know, he turns on a dime on Van Noy, who really should have been, you know, they can say whatever they want about Van Ginkle emerging and they don't need him anymore. But, you know, sometimes you need the guys to just be leaders in the locker room and sell your case. And to do that, to do Van Noy dirty like that, not very cool.
All right, Greg, thanks for coming by. What can people expect on BSJ here going forward in free agency?
We'll be doing a bunch of stuff, and as soon as the Patriots stop signing people, I'll actually start doing film analysis on this on these guys so that you can really figure out, and we'll identify where they're going to fit for the Patriots and how the whole picture is going to come together.
Okay, you should bring me on for some of that video analysis. I probably gave you the biggest bump you've ever had in a film session. Yeah, exactly. And I'll be ready to go. On Mike. Greg, thanks for coming by. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Greg.
Bye,
go
Greg.
Rutgers.
There's Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. I want to pick up some of this Patriots stuff here in a minute, but we have to spend at least one segment, a few minutes, on what, if the Pats weren't going nuts right now, what I think would be the lead story in Boston, and that is lead sports story in Boston, and that's the Boston Celtics, who should be developing into a championship-contending team, and I feel like may already be done, like done. Like they got to change things done. Like, so the Celtics, the state of the Boston Celtics, we got to give you a minute on that. And a Bruins minute. We'll do that right after Murray's 90-second update. Again, breaking news. The Patriots have made another signing. The very latest comes your way right here in the update, and then we're back.
A smart sports bettor knows where to find the best odds before placing a bet. And that's why smart bettors use PropSwap, America's marketplace, to buy and sell sportsbook tickets. PropSwap customers always find the best odds because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. See a ticket you like but think the price is too high? Submit a bid for a price you think is fair and then buy it. Become a smarter sports bettor today. Go to PropSwap.com right now. PropSwap, where America buys and sells sportsbook tickets.